Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. How your family or a family member made the news, Patton Wallingford.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
So my dad made the news one day. Little backstory: my dad was diagnosed around 10 years ago with pancreatic cancer. And he was really active in Project Purple, which is
very familiar with that. Yeah,
yes, very
great organization.
Yep.
And so somebody in his life, I forget who exactly it was, had contacted Fox like around 2 years ago. And
Fox the network or Fox 61?
Fox 61, Connecticut.
Got it. Okay.
And so he had no idea about it, but they contacted him and they wanted to do a story on him and Project Purple because he was basically, I think, because he was still alive, because 6 years has gone by and pancreatic cancer is like a big killer.
It comes in quick. Well, by the time you know it, it's too late.
But they do have
you
some successes.
You can see the train on the tracks. Yeah, yeah, you're right. But that is a story.
It's going to be caught really early, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it was for Project Purple, too, to, you know, promote them. But he got to have his grandkids on, and he actually passed last June.
Sorry, man.
Past June. But it was great that they did, like, a piece like that, you know. Like,
yeah,
like
no doubt.
My family, you know. Known to be on the news for other reasons, but
oh really? Well, why don't you tell us one of those stories? All right, Pat. Thank you,
well,
man.
I'm pulling that's to work. Maybe another time.
Yeah. Got to go now.
All right. Inspirational.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah, man.
Rose and Shelton.
Hi. the story about the grandma with the potatoes got me thinking about a dumbass cousin of mine who. Him and his stripper girlfriend had a fight and tried to burn down one of her enemy's father's buildings. And the way that they caught them was the idiot thought that putting a potato in the tailpipe of his truck would make it blow up.
Right. Oh, no. It just backfires. It doesn't blow up. So I'm guessing they didn't do a lot of meth.
Yeah, so they got the DNA off the potato.
Get out. This is where I don't believe you anymore.
Right.
No one cares that much.
And the potato's exhausted.
I don't know. What do you think? Those the stack of cold cases, unsolved murders? Or, but let's get some DNA off this potato.
Let's dust the potato.
No, it happened in Connecticut not even that long ago.
No.
They burnt down the stripper girlfriend's enemy's building or something to that effect.
Do you remember? Rose, do you remember a headline?
Yes. Give me a second. Stripper caught by DNA on potato in Connecticut. They ended up burning down.
Man, the girl. If this is true, this is wild.
That baked potato.
What? Bill? Yes?
I found it, too.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It's a thing. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She looks so proud of herself in her mugshot, too.
I gotta see it.
Yeah, do me a favor. Send me the link.
I'm sending it right now.
Oh, wow.
Thank
that
you.
Is a huge smile on her face.
You know, I'm going to stare from potatoes, man. Those things are
deadly. Just sent it.
I told you my family's going to kill me for letting it out, but it was just too hysterical.
Well, if they offer you a potato,
oh my God.
Take it.
She's cute.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. She was famous for being good looking, and all the cops were flirting with her while she was getting her photo taken.
Now, when they say potato stuck in tailpipe, they mean a truck, not hers, right? Connecticut stripper arrest for arson. DNA been found. Potato stuck in tailpipe.
Well, we know what kind of DNA they found.
Right.
All right, Rose, man, what a great story.
Wow.
You're full of them, by the way.
Seriously.
I didn't believe you.
Wow.
I apologize.
I know. Nobody ever does.
Well, it must have been sounds kind of far-fetched.
Well, what cop would say we need to...
Who would be that stupid?
What's that now?
I said, who would be that stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Rose, you're in the running for the Ringo Starr tickets. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
The hot potato.
I guess it was the building burning down where they thought we need to get the DNA.
Right. And this baked potato might help us. They put the potato in the tailpipe.
Holy friggin' crap. But DNA
right.
off the potato.
Right. So I guess the method was, we'll burn the place down, and later he goes to leave. He's going to start the vehicle and get a loud pop and scare the crap out of him.
Yeah, I didn't get all of that. But, man.
Well, the first
real.
Line. A hot
the
potato.
New York Daily News.
Yep. A hot potato helped Connecticut police make an arson arrest.
Wow.
It's
the mugshots from Waterbury.
Yeah.
Waterbury police.
Right.
What year is this?
2016, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where the hell were we? People, you got to send us these.
Yeah, come on.
How did we miss this?
This is dumbass news.
Jeff and Darian.
Yeah, I mean, seems like Christopher Waltz and Hans Landa in Inglourious Basterds has to be one.
Oh, yeah.
Great, great pick. Yeah, he
one.
Was fabulous. Another Oscar winner.
Like, without that character and without that performance, what is that movie? He yeah. he makes that
absolutely.
Whole thing go.
He, fabulous.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Michelle in Hamden.
Hi, good morning. I can't remember her name, but she was in Misery, and she kept the her fascination writer that she loved, you know,
yeah.
held him capture.
She broke his legs with a sledgehammer.
Both of them.
Yeah. yeah.
Kathy Bates won the Oscar for that. It was
right.
a character named Annie Wilkes.
Annie
right. yeah,
Wilkes.
Just being herself. Yep.
That's
great
scary.
Performance. Really
she
scary.
Was great. Wasn't that James Caan?
Yeah.
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 yeah,
in the
yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
He just passed away.
Probably from that.
Thank you.
Sad.
You know, it's one of those iconic movie scenes that if you see that movie once, you'll always remember the ankle scene.
And yeah, the sound.
You will never
the sounds.
Oh my God.
Forget that scene for the rest of your
absolutely.
Life.
Ever.
To the point
totally.
Where you remember what happened, like right before it's on screen, so that you know, okay, I'm just going to look this way now, and he's yelling, and now I can look back. Okay.
I can't wear blue pajamas because of that now. Because every time I see that.
Like,
ah!
Right.
All
right.
Yeah, and the sound is horrendous.
And then don't they do like a long shot of the cabin where you just hear the scream?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes,
you do.
Yes.
You just see the scream echoing over
yep.
the valley.
And he ruined a Mustang in the movie, too. Another reason.
Is what, that right?
Yeah. Blue Mustang, Blue Mustang Coupe, 65.
Yes.
Yeah, he rolls it. That's how
oh, that's
gets
how it all started.
Yeah, he slides up the road,
yeah,
rolls it.
Yeah,
that's how she ends up with him. She's nursing him. He gets better. She
yep.
breaks his ankles with a sledgehammer. You know, the same old love
yep.
story. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same,
old
love
story.
Story.
Yeah, yeah.
You meet by chance.
Right, exactly.
She acts like she likes you.
Right. Next
then
you know,
she breaks yeah. your friggin' ankle.
She's breaking your ankles. You wrecked your car already. You know, all
yeah.
this sorts of good stuff. Mm. Stuck with her. Yeah.
You just, you don't realize the depth of like how evil she is as the movie goes
yep.
on. You, like, you're finding out how evil she be. Like, it's bad. It just gets worse every scene.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
insane.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good one because she starts out as being a nice person.
It
she
just
seems
she's
nice.
Helpful.
Going. It just
she
keeps
seems
going.
Nice, yes.
Yeah.
Right. That, you know,
she's a big fan.
It's interesting. It's like a psycho.
Yeah.
It's like a psycho-type character.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Or Armin Bates.
Yes.
Or feeding a gremlin after midnight. They're always nice and cute. All of a sudden you fed them.
Yeah, because
you know?
When they arrive
right.
on the screen,
yeah.
when you're first introduced to them.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, look how cute.
Now,
yeah.
Darth Vader,
yeah.
the second that he boards that ship,
yeah.
you know, oh.
Oh, yeah, no.
Bad dude.
The standard is set right there. Even
yes.
the music follows
yes.
it.
Well, it's the old classic, you know, black hat, white hat.
Yes.
From the Westerns.
Yep.
Right. Only he's
wearing black.
All decked in
right.
black.
All right. Not good. This guy's not good.
He's got an odd-looking helmet.
John, Long
hey.
Island.
You're popping corn?
Sounds
hey,
like
crew.
What's going on there? Hey, John.
Good morning. I don't know how, maybe more of a funny villain. Lethal Weapon 2, Mr. Ott. I can't stand him, but I love
yes.
at the end when he goes, diplomatic immunity.
Oh, yes. Okay,
yeah.
yes.
Great line.
Yeah,
great line.
A quick funny thing is when I work my construction job, I always make the guys laugh because every time I walk across like that, when the painters put the plastic down,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, how is the painting done? Mr. Ott's painting
yeah.
here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, man, some painting done. No broken bones, eh? Right. Yep. The best, though, is when they're in that guy's office, Mel Gibson and the rest of the cops, as they're leaving, Mel turns around and goes, with his gun, goes "eeny" to one guy, "meeny," and then "miney" to the other guy, goes and shoots this. They shoots the guy's expensive aquarium, and all those fish come flying out,
right,
and they're all like
right.
they're juggling the fish. Get them, put them with your hands. Put them with your hands. Big smiles, and he leaves.
Yeah, doesn't Gibson turn around to the girl that he eventually hooks up with? Oh, I was just shooting the fish with your boss.
Yeah. Yes.
That's such a great movie.
Hey, thank you, John.
It. You got it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Right. Diplomatic immunity, and then just shoots him. Just been revoked. Murtaugh.
Yeah.
Just
I wonder how much of these movies that you love you can recite almost word for word.
You know what? When I love a movie, I watch a movie. I mean, I watch. I become the movie. I watch it over and over again.
I become
the movie. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You become the movie.
Uh-oh, look like I'm crazy again.
Clark and Bethany.
I'll tell you, nobody is crazier and scarier than Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction.
Oh, my God, you're right. Great, great choice.
She boiled this bunny.
Yeah.
The kid's bunny.
The kid's bunny. She boiled the kid's bunny.
Come on.
Bunny soup.
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't even look like a good soup.
No.
Just a waste.
The hair, yeah.
Well, yes, you did.
I never thought of that. That soup didn't even look good.
Just
it's
an
like if you're
going to
put
waste.
Rabbit in a soup, it should be good. I'm Portuguese. We eat rabbits.
Yeah. Waiter, there's a hair in my soup.
It's not even good.
Right.
Okay,
what would it smell like?
Just death.
Yep. Yeah, women are like almost rooting for her because,
right,
you know,
mad.
Michael Douglas's character was a douche.
Right, they had the hot elevator scene everybody talks about.
Yeah, that was a pretty good scene.
Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah, she did a great job. Did she win an Oscar for that?
She should have.
She was nominated.
Okay.
She was nominated, but she didn't win. No.
She was good.
But she was terrific. She was great.
She went from hot to like, wow, right. She's crazy.
Well, they said be yourself on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but when you looked into her eyes, you're like, you believed.
She's nuts.
Totally.
Another one of those roles that will just define her. Forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's going to be
absolutely.
One of the first things mentioned forever when you mention her name.
Single afterwards forever, too.
Thank you, Clark. Appreciate it. We're getting a lot of calls now. Joe, our time goes very fast.
It does, man.
You.
Yes. Yes.
Anything opening soon we should be paying attention to?
Well, that movie called Nope, the new movie by Jordan Peele, who did Get Out and Us. I saw the trailer last night. It looks like it's some kind of a UFO thing. But, he has a pretty good track record, and it's getting a big buildup. And then there's Bullet Train with Brad Pitt, I think a week or two after that, which looks like fun.
Movie called Nope. I've heard that before.
That's your life.
Yeah, if it's bad, the critics will all start with that word, right?
Yeah, that's right. They're setting themselves up for bad reviews.
They're setting themselves up.
Joe Myers, thank you. Now a Major Motion Picture is an awesome, awesome podcast on Spotify. Thank you. Bruce Springsteen coming to Mohegan Sun Arena March 12th. Tickets on sale this month.
Yep.
I kept saying July. I'm like, we're in July.
Yes.
I went on vacation and the clock stopped.
Yeah, he'll come back. He'll come back.
Tom Cantone, Vice President of All Things Cool at Mohegan Sun, on the phone. How did you pull this one off?
I'm going to tell you something. This is big. You can count on one hand the ones that can fill stadiums within seconds today. And, I'm going to say it was a cool collaboration with Jimmy and I. We joined forces to make an offer he couldn't refuse. And it to have him back, because we had him years ago. And he told me personally he loved it. Loved Mohegan Sun, loved everything about the property and all that. It's a different kind of place for them to play, not just a standalone arena where they got to go in cars and all that stuff. So they loved it. His manager loved it and all that. So, I got full credit. Jimmy and I got together and we figured out a way to, make this thing happen. But like I said, Billy Joel, Bruce, Paul, those are the ones that you count on one hand, and that's it. There aren't too many after that. So happy to have him back. And my good buddy, and I knew him way before I met Bruce, Stevie Van Zandt, who's in the E Street Band, I'm real good friends with Stevie, and you know he later became Silvio in the Sopranos. And so I texted him right away. And
his hairpiece is still working, by the way.
It is.
Various parts.
Yep.
It'll never age.
Yep. It's in a couple. It's in a couple of spinoffs.
Yeah. So you know, but my phone, guys, the minute we announced it, I've never seen my phone blow up like that. Calls from all over, from Australia, friends of mine in Australia.
Wow.
Texas, people begging me with their stories. Someone's, you know, dying. Anything you can do? My dream has been to see him. Can you make it? Was nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean,
so you got messages then.
Yeah, just crazy, you know, just crazy. But something tells me that, you know, you and the one, Jennifer, are going to be dancing, you know, you know, in the dark in March.
You know, we, AJ and I made Bruce late for one of his performances at your venue once.
Sorry about that.
It really wasn't our fault.
No. We were having a good time just chatting.
But we were interviewing little Steven backstage.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking... Yeah. I feel like we're getting close to showtime.
Can he be on stage right now?
And he just kept talking, and we were comfortable. And I thought, well, he knows when the show's supposed to start.
Professional, he knows.
And we'll just keep going. And then eventually, you know, a half an hour later, somebody came up and said,
on right now.
Say, hey, I got to go. I'm like, okay. We walk out. It's like, wow, he was supposed to be on the stage 15 minutes ago.
Right. Everybody's tapping their feet saying, where the hell is he? Bruce is like looking at his watch like,
sorry. Yeah.
Late.
The boss.
The boss.
Yeah, you're late to the boss.
You're late.
Right.
You know how he became, you know how he was called the boss. You know why?
No.
Years ago, he had bands before him, his band now.
Yeah.
And he would be the guy in the band who would get the check and pay everybody. So they called him the boss, you know, when he was a thing band, you know, playing these little places in Asbury Park or wherever in South Jersey.
I couldn't pay him.
And so he did not like that. Oh. He did not like being called the boss, but I think he does now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, but listen, now here's another thing. Do you know who influenced him? You know the reason why he is who he is today?
Elvis.
His mom?
Nope.
No.
Nope. One more guess.
Let me guess again.
The kid in third grade sat behind him.
Wasn't it his dad?
Go for the long shot here.
Nope. He watched the Beatles debut on the Ed Sullivan Show. Another one. So many of these guys. And he said, that's what I want to be. And he got a guitar. His very first song he ever played on the guitar was Twist and Shout when he heard it from the Beatles. So another influence. And what a pinch me moment must have been for him to then, you know, share the stage with Paul McCartney.
Seriously.
And play his idol, to be on stage and play with Paul McCartney. You can't make it up. Talk about a dream come true. And then, of course, 20 Grammys later, 150 million albums later, he's an equal, you know, in a way, and just unbelievable. So it's a big deal to have him back in the most intimate arena and venue, because he plays these big places. And for me, I'm sorry, you know, some of those big places, it just don't get the experience like you do at our place.
No.
You know, there's not a bad seat in the house.
No, we know that.
You know,
no, for the audience, it's great. For the relationship between the performer and the audience, for Bruce, who plays 80,000 seat venues, to play a 9,000 seat venue is like playing Toad's Place. It probably reminds him of playing a club in his early days.
I can see faces and everything, yeah.
There's a good Bruce Elvis story, Tom. I don't know if you heard this. Just as Bruce was starting to break, he was on the cover of Time and Newsweek magazine the same week. And he thought, hey, this is great. I'm famous
Look
now. I'm
going to
go see the king.
Look at me.
He's in Memphis. He jumps the fence. He runs up to the mansion. He gets to the door. Security stops him.
Of course.
And he says, I'm here to see Elvis. I'm Bruce Springsteen. Who? Check the cover of Newsweek magazine, Time magazine. I'm on both this week.
I would have carried him with
me. I'd love to meet the king. Never got a chance to meet him.
Wow.
During that, they were like, yeah, okay, boss schmoss, let's go, out the door.
Yeah, Photoshop on these covers.
I think that was the only time in history that someone was on both covers at one time, same time.
I believe you're right.
Or he got thrown out of some place.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. I did a little trick years ago. I had Clarence Clemens play when I was at another casino in a small intimate club that I had. And I booked him on his birthday. And I heard a rumor that Bruce always shows up on Clarence Clemens' birthday.
Uh-huh.
So listen to this. This is a great story. I booked him. Clarence was there. I get a call that Bruce is on his way. He drove up on his own from wherever he was, probably Jersey. Sits in the back. I said hello, blah, blah, blah. Didn't bother him. He had his hat on. Never said a word. Sat in the back. There's only 200 people in the club. Nobody knew he was there. I had B.B. King in the other club. B.B. King comes over to join Clarence on stage because it was his birthday. And then the magic started. Bruce gets up, unannounced, walks on stage. People were screaming, like, what is this?
They 200 people.
Imposter. Right, right.
200 people. I'm standing there with the president of the casino, and we're looking at each other going,
hold me up, man. Hold me up. I'm about to fall over.
And he brought cake. He brought a birthday cake also. Did a nine-minute version of happy birthday.
Listen to this. They played for over an hour, and I booked Bruce for free.
Nice.
Different than that. Yeah. So I got Bruce Springsteen, you know, there performing for over an hour. People loved it. And that was a pinch me moment for me. And he was such a nice guy. So great. And then he didn't ask for anything. Didn't want anything. He left.
He
was there. Yeah. So, but all these things, you know, these are legends, iconic legends. You know, I wish today's artists, you know, could take a page, because that's how it's done. You know, not 20 people around them protecting them and all that.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Well, there's a good story from Bruce. This I'll never forget. This story. It was the night after the Grammys, and they were all going back. All the top artists were going to record We Are the World.
Yeah.
They did it because they knew all the artists would be in L.A. So right after the Grammys, the after party was, you go over here, Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, we're recording this.
Yeah.
All of these artists show up in stretch limos and entourages, which they had to leave at the door,
yes,
the entourages.
Of course.
Bruce shows up in a rented K car.
Nice.
Yeah.
By himself.
See, that's the difference.
That's the difference.
Yeah, no question about it.
But who would rent a K car?
Bruce did.
It's like, whatever you have available, I don't care.
Exactly right. I'll take the two-door.
I just need to get there. Yeah. That's the most important thing to me.
Yeah, right.
I just need to be in that room.
He could have said, Mr. Manager, buy me a whatever, a Porsche.
He could have hopped in with somebody else, right?
No, it's cool he came in the K car.
I'll go in Diana Ross's limo.
It's cool he came in the K car. Fits.
That's
I like it.
Exactly right.
Yep, I like it.
When did you know that this was a done deal, Tom, Bruce Springsteen at Mohegan Sun?
The end of last week, Jimmy and I, and Jimmy Koplik, anybody that obviously knows Jimmy, he's the legend. And I hope to be a legend someday. Maybe I get into the Hall of Fame, you know, on the first ballot. I don't know. But I hang out and things happen. And it's unbelievable when we got our heads together, we figured out how to do this thing. And we made, I think, the right offer at the right time. And relationships matter, guys, in our business.
Jimmy was on yesterday at this time, and he said that it is the second smallest place he's playing. He's playing Hard Rock in L.A. in Mohegan Sun, and then everything else is huge.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's stadiums and all that stuff. It's true. So now I had Billy Joel. I got Bruce Springsteen. Now I need a Beatle, Paul McCartney. And I got the three B's done.
Nice.
Done. So I'm waiting. I'm hoping. I have an offer in for Paul next year.
Well,
I'm
how much is that offer?
About $400.
Nice.
Yeah,
cash.
Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah. Cash. Yeah, he wanted all small bills.
And you try to find, like, so, when you're making an offer like that to someone like Paul McCartney, do you find out something that's very special to them and then try to incorporate that into the offer?
Right. Does he have any friends with birthdays?
Throw in a meal voucher. Throw in a meal voucher.
Well, that's funny you say that, because Barry Marshall, his guy in London, I actually did do that. I called him and I said, what does Paul like? What can I do to sweeten this thing up? Because an offer is an offer. Money is money. I want to know what the hot spots are. And so I incorporated some really cool things into the offer that I thought would be a legacy for him and to keep things going. And that would be, you know, something in his name for the kids, you know, a foundation, a foundation, that kind of thing, a Paul McCartney Music Foundation, or things that would make him feel like he's giving something back to the next generation. And so I did.
Genius.
I incorporated that. Yeah, I incorporate that in there, and, you know, and we'll make a contribution, and we'll do whatever he wants me to do, you know. So, you know, for me, you know, that's everything. I mean,
I believe you would do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if Paul said, kiss me on the lips, right, you'd be like, right, done.
Name a veggie burger after me. Boom, done. I'm going to have the McCartney with everything on it.
All right. Tom Cantone is on, Vice President of Entertainment, Mohegan Sun. Yesterday at 9 o'clock, we announced Bruce Springsteen going to Mohegan Sun Arena March 12th. Tickets on sale when? Like next week or something?
22nd.
The
tickets are a little bit different this time. Right? We got to register.
Verified fan?
I'm not sure. I didn't know that. I know that we're, you know, putting tickets on sale. There's probably a pre-sale and all that, like they usually do. But, you know, I had a guy call me. This is funny. Talk about people, my phone blowing up. He called me, a friend of mine. He said, Tom, can I buy 100 tickets or more? I'll pay whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's going to have a big Bruce Springsteen party and rent rooms. And, you know, he wants to do a big deal. Can you help me get 100? That's the kind of, power that Bruce has. I mean, then people will pay it.
I will bet that at 9 o'clock yesterday, the hotel had rooms available on March 12th. And by 9:15, you did not.
Nope. You sleep in the parking lot.
I agree.
Like I do. But you have a nice parking lot sleeping, by the way.
Not only our hotel, the area hotels all feed off of my concert schedule. They set their rates on my concert schedule. I know that for a fact. They'll see who's coming, and they'll adjust their rate cards based on the concerts coming in. All the area hotels around us, that's what they do. You know, so you talk about the entertainment commerce that room generates, just incredible business it does, you know. So we're lucky to be there. I mean, you know.
We're lucky to have you. We're lucky to have you there.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. Bruce Springsteen has played all over the world for decades and decades and decades. And when he starts putting something together, it's Jimmy Complic and that relationship, and then knowing what his people were treated like and his experience at Mohegan Sun and how much he loves the room, how he doesn't have to worry about anything.
Yep.
All that plays in. So nice job, man.
It starts at the arrival. You know, the deals are deals. You know, that's the mechanics. It doesn't mean anything, really. Oh, okay, you know, they figured it out. It's what happens when they arrive. It's the little things. Not the big thing. You can pay millions of dollars, but if that one little thing that they ask for doesn't happen, or if the little things that you just mentioned, like I'll find out to do something really cool as a surprise, that goes a long way. Little notes in their room with what they like from a note from me welcoming them. You know, my crew, they are great with welcoming everyone when they arrive, when all the trucks come in. The tourists love coming into our place because of them. You know, the men and women who run it, when they arrive, they feel like they're home. They don't feel like they're in some place where nobody knows them and it's a pain, you know, to get things done. We're there front row center, man. And, you know, I get to know them. I welcome them. There's a face that they can associate with. I have a huge picture. You saw it on the wall, a big mural of everyone on my team. So they know who that person is they can go to. You know, no one's ever lost or in need of anything. We're right there. Now, I make it a big point to do the welcome. And, you know, it does go a long way, believe me. And people want to come back. And I don't care how big you are. Lionel Rich said the same thing. You know, it loves playing our place. They all feel the same way. So it is all about relationships.
Right at the sweet 100%. Spot of the Lionel Richie show, and I'm sitting next to Tom. Tom gets up with his wife, and it's got to be hard to say, all right, honey, I know you want to catch the best part of the show, but we got to go.
Yeah.
Working time.
Yeah, it's working time.
Yep.
You got to go greet the performer and, you know,
press the flesh.
Gonna thank him for his performance.
Yep.
But is Bruce staying there that night, or is he, like, taking a helicopter off to Jersey? Can you tell
right
us
now, I think he's staying here.
Cool.
Yeah, because we got a lot of rooms, so I think they're going to be staying here, and I hope so, and enjoying the place, because, you know, that's part
Jennifer
of the
would
experience.
Like to volunteer as a position as a room service person.
Whatever right. you need.
Right.
You
know? She wants a cheeseburger 3 o'clock
She's
in the
very
morning.
Generous.
Yeah.
Housekeeping.
Right.
She makes a mean cup of coffee in the
that's
morning,
right.
you know?
That's right. Right.
Whatever they need.
All right, Tom.
Well, he's hired.
All right. Excellent. All right, man. Great job. Congratulations. Very exciting.
Thanks, guys. Well, hopefully, you know, we'll have more excitement to talk about. Thanks for always having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Tom Cantone, Vice President of Entertainment and Sports at Mohegan Sun. Good morning, John Anderson of Yes.
Hi, you guys from wherever you are.
Thank you. He's a super fan, but different.
We're in Connecticut.
Yes.
You have any,
of course you are.
You have any fond memories of Connecticut?
Many, 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 many. Actually, I met Paul Green because he had a group in School of Rock 20 years ago in Connecticut. And we got together and had fun and went on tour.
Nice.
So oh, that's great.
Did,
okay. And you're doing that, John Anderson with the Paul Green Rock Academy at Ridgefield Playhouse this Saturday.
Right. Most folks say pizza.
Yeah.
All right, so when I hear Rock Academy, this isn't School of Rock. You're
right.
Not bringing kids up on stage and teaching them how to play.
Yeah, same idea. Not teaching them how to play. I'm watching them play. They play amazing. I mean, it's quite amazing. When I first met them 20 years ago, different kids, of course, they were doing Heart of the Sunrise, which is not an easy piece of Yes music, you know?
Wow. Holy
and
crap.
I was blown away. So now I've got them, I pushed them a bit further this time. So let's do Close to the Edge. Let's do the whole album.
Nice.
So we're doing it.
So when people buy a ticket and go, they're going to watch, what are they going to see? Then the kids learning this, or they're already going to,
no,
they're going to come out and play it.
They're brilliant. I'm sorry. They're just so damn good. And it's great to be with young musicians that can play anything that Yes ever did. And
are you backing up right now?
Sorry, no.
I hear a beep.
I'm just, I love what I'm doing. That's for sure.
Gotcha.
And do you sing lead when these kids come up and play?
Yeah,
nice.
Except for a couple of we do Led Zeppelin "Kashmir" into "Long Distance Runaround."
Wow,
damn!
And then we do
have a concert right
Lenny
there.
Lenny Kravitz song into "Starship Trooper," that kind of thing. You know,
nice.
Just mix it up and mash it up and have fun.
Nice.
When you know, the thing I love about you is that your voice is just as strong as it was in 1969, 1970.
And very versatile, yes.
True. You know, I'm an alto tenor. I love singing. I sing every day at home in the studio and just love what I do.
Shower. Yep.
You sing every day, really.
Every day.
Isn't that the difference?
Yeah. Got to keep the chops up.
Yeah.
I'm always creating. I've just created a 4-hour piece of music. 4 hours. Can't believe it.
You know,
not quite
funny.
Sure how to
I don't know
sure
where you are right now, but it sounds busy, and please pay attention.
Or someone backing up, or someone just beat the chair.
I don't want to be the guy who says, yeah, well, you know.
John Anderson.
John Anderson's last interview, I think he was hit by a car.
No, I was on the balcony getting some fresh air. I'm okay now.
Oh,
I'm
okay,
good.
Right,
cool.
When you guys started, was it hard for you to get a record deal? Were you Yes as we know Yes? Were you doing these long songs?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were very good when we got going. and the record companies were knocking on the door. We had no idea what it meant. And then we went to the studio and listened to ourselves and thought, hey, we're not that bad.
Really?
And, you know, the second album wasn't that good. It was trying to work with an orchestra. The third album, we didn't know this, but Atlantic Records, God bless them, were going to drop us if the third album was bad.
Oh.
But the third album was the Yes album, which was quite a good album.
See? So,
quite a good album is an understatement. It is a classic.
And in the nick of time, too.
Like, really a classic. Those songs are just as good today, if not better.
Stand test of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny that sometimes, you know, it's weird because when I was in the 60s and early 70s, I was total Beatle fan, total Rolling Stones, okay.
You've incorporated a couple of lines from the Beatles into your songs.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like a nod, a tribute.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give Peace a Chance. It was in.
Yes.
Oh, good people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it for that album cover on the Yes album? You guys are in a room, there's an empty chair, and then there's like a styrofoam head floating.
The interesting thing, not many people know this, but if you look at that cover, Tony Kaye's got it broke his ankle the day before we had a crash in south of England traveling back from Cardiff, and he broke his ankle. So if you look at that front cover closely, his foot is covered in white plaster of Paris.
Oh, yeah.
The cast party, yep.
Yep, there it is.
Yep.
What was the idea? What was the idea behind the floating styrofoam head?
Just look cool.
Oh, it's just something to put there. Boring.
That's cool.
Right.
I like that. Like, hey, let's try this. Let's try that.
They'll
let's
talk
try
about this for years afterwards. Like, what does this mean?
Yep. Yeah. And see, look at this. Years later,
right.
I'm asking
it's a
you.
Conversation starter. What's up with that?
The empty chair. Does that symbolize something?
No one sat there.
The manager at that time.
An empty chair.
Nice.
The manager didn't last very long. When the Yes got going, we were so excited about what we were going to do. We went to America with to Jethro Tull, and that was amazing.
Oh, wow.
All these hotels with swimming pools called Holiday Inn.
Yes. It was like a holiday, wasn't it?
But for you, as a musician, like the Holiday Inn, you're like, wow, we made it. We're living like kings.
Right.
We're in America.
Living large.
Yeah. Hotel right. with a swimming pool.
Right.
Yeah, I always remember a moment. We're all in the pool, and Bill Bruford came out of his room and ran all the way down to dive into the pool, shouting, Geronimo, and went in the shallow end. And bust his head.
Oops.
Oh, that's the styrofoam head that's floating.
Exactly right. Yeah. That symbolizes how he felt afterwards. Yes.
Wonderful drummer, though. What a great guy.
Right.
Hey, the people you meet during a lifetime is unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah. What a lineup that band had. Did the record label ever try to get you to shorten your songs? Like, as they realized that you guys were clearly writing hits.
Right.
What would be hits on top 40 radio if they were a little bit shorter?
Condensed.
Were they trying to get you to shorten those songs?
All the time. I mean, they really knocked on the door so many times. Why don't you just do another roundabout? I said, roundabout's 8 minutes long. You cut it in half. What's the matter with you?
Right.
Yeah.
One thing I always wanted to see is you guys continue the end of I've Seen All Good People just about another 2 minutes longer, because towards the end you're going down an octave, down an octave. I just want to hear.
I remember that. Very good.
Yeah.
The other thing about the Yes is that it's an all-star lineup. Every musician in that band.
Who's who?
Were just so good at what they did. There were no
masters,
slouches.
Right?
Not slouches.
Masters.
I'd say cream of the crop,
master
but cream
musicians.
Was taken ready. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Squire's bass guitar sound, unbelievable. Even today, when I ever I listen to the old albums just before I came on tour. I was listening to Mind Drive, which not many people know about. It's a great track we did. His bass is so perfect. Incredible guy.
Yeah. It's I would say it's an ensemble of incredible musicians.
Works for me.
Thank you.
Yes. Right. He says yes.
You're right. He says yes. How did you come up with that name, Yes?
Really?
Well, it's so silly, but Chris Squire had a band called Mabel Greer's Toy Shop. And I looked at him, I said, how much acid did you take? And he said, quite a lot. So got together with them, and the drummer left because he just got a gig in Paris because he was going to get paid. So that's when we got Bill Bruford. Got together, started playing, and I kept saying to Chris, I wish we could just have a short name. You know, Nibble Grease Toy Shop. Nah. So we put some names into a hat, and of course, Peter Banks, the great guitar player that we had in those days, he came up with Yes, and we said, the Yes? No. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, then. Let's do that.
What else was in the hat? Do you remember what else was in the hat?
Fuzzy bunnies.
Yeah. I had World, and Chris had Life, and Yes was there as well.
Nice.
But the best name I ever heard was an Irish band called The.
The, yes.
That's right.
Right. They have a song called Stuttering.
The.
That's awesome.
So many great memories. This sounds like a really cool thing for musicians.
Yeah.
But especially aspiring ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes fans and aspiring musicians.
Better for the audience.
John Anderson of Yes with Paul Green Rock Academy. At the Richfield Playhouse this Saturday, 7 o'clock.
This Saturday. Come and enjoy the show.
Right.
It's a great show. Believe me, it's one of the best times that I've ever had on stage.
Really? That's great.
Real, excellent. Great fun.
And where you say they renovated the place, too. You're going to love it.
Yes, sirree.
Is there any Connecticut food that we can bring you? What do you like to eat?
Oh, what's it called? Wait a minute. Is Philadelphia in Connecticut?
Philadelphia? No.
Right down the street.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Who's driving?
Cheesesteak.
Oh, cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak.
Right. Okay.
No problem.
Yeah. Right.
Never had one. Maybe you can share one together.
You have a lot of phlegm.
Would that phlegm you up? Right. If you eat dairy or have dairy before a show, does that phlegm you up?
I did it once in Leeds in England. I went out and had a steak and I couldn't sing.
Oh.
It was half an hour before the show, and I thought, I'm so hungry. Had the steak, got on stage, nothing would come out. I had the worst night of my life, so I never eat.
So when we ask you what you want, you say, yes, cheesesteak.
Yes. Yeah, he's got right back to the steak.
He means after the show. After the show, yeah.
After the show will be cool.
Right. Oh, that's great.
That works.
John, it's always a pleasure having you on. I've been a fan for so long, saw you in concert so many times, and just always thrilled.
Thank you.
Good people.
We're looking forward to your performance at the Richfield Playhouse this Saturday. Thank you, John.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.